So this Sunday, as it was said, is Mothering Sunday. Some of you who have not grown up in the UK or in England might think, what is Mothering Sunday? We're used to saying Happy Mother's Day, for example. So Happy Mothering Day. But traditionally, it was not the same as Mother's Day, but there's now some overlap. Some time ago, it became the custom in certain parts of England when at mid-Lent, where we are now, the fourth Sunday of Lent, people would visit the cathedral or their mother church, where they were baptized and grew up in their faith in Jesus. It was a way to recognize how the church took care of them when they were young. This became known as Mothering Sunday. And when people visited their mother church, who else did they visit? Their mothers. So, by extension, actual mothers were included in this festival. So, on Mothering Sunday, we think about our mother churches and about our mothers who nurtured us, who continue to nurture us. Last year, on Mothering Sunday, we looked at how we find the love of mothers in nature. You might remember the photos of various animals that we saw on the screen, like hippos, who surprisingly are very ferocious and tender mothers. And we also saw a photo with a hen and her chicks. Nature reminds us of the love of our mothers or of those who have been like mothers to us. They took care of us. They fed us, clothed us, and encouraged us. We would not be here today in good health without the love of our mothers and fathers, or of those who took care of us like a mother does for her children. This morning we are going to think about how the love of the church is similar to a mother's love. Interestingly, a long time ago, St. Paul wrote to a church in the city of Colossae, asking them to think about how the church takes care of followers in Jesus, how each one takes care of each other, of one another. And Paul uses an interesting expression, a way of talking that we know very well, to get dressed. Get dressed, put on your clothes. This is a part of our daily routine. So I brought some props with me today. This is an all-age service, so we would be remiss not to have props. I want you to notice the different things that we use to keep warm, especially during the winter, and in Switzerland, it's a very good part of the year. So this is one of my favorite jumpers. Keeps me warm, it's very comfortable, it's light. And if I really want to be warm, I'll put this one on. I'm sure some of you have something similar. It is like a blanket. It's an amazing, amazing jacket with pockets. Another thing, and I think this person must have been a genius, who invented the hoodie. I mean, this is really popular among young people. And it's fantastic when, for example, when you're jogging or you're playing sports and it starts to rain, or you get a little cold and you just put your hoodie on. It's fantastic. Great idea. Here's another jacket that I bought like 25 years ago, and it was actually in style back in Italy. When we lived in Italy. It's like a fisherman's jacket. Do you remember that? It was kind of a phase. But it's fantastic when you're doing yard work because it's very light. You can put all sorts of tools in here, and it's just very practical. Finally, now, fortunately, at least for me, because I'm kind of a wimp, I don't like winter too much, I have this. So if it's minus 10, I love to put this on. So this is more than a blanket. It surrounds me with heat, and it has a nice cap. This is kind of the thing that Paul's saying. It's like, put on clothes, get dressed. Now the thing is, Paul is not talking so much about jackets and keeping warm, but it's a way of helping people to understand. And this way of talking might seem strange, but it is true that if our mothers and fathers didn't wrap us up in blankets and dress us warmly, we would not be here today. It is really important to protect ourselves from the cold, from rain and snow, and even too much sunshine. So Paul is saying that the church needs to take care of her members in a similar way that a mother takes care of her children. But the question arises, what is the church? Is it the building that takes care of us? No, obviously not. The church is us. It's us, people who follow Jesus, people of all ages. So the church is not something apart from us. We are a part of it, or even better, part of her. And God is asking us to take care of each other, to help one another. So how do we take care of each other in the church? Today's Bible text from Paul's letter to the Colossians helps us to think about that question. And we're going to look at just a small part of that text, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, which you have in your service sheet. I'm just going to reread it. And for the young ones, we're going to have a quiz at the end. Just a quiz. I know you like quizzes, and there will be some chocolates around, but they're especially for our mothers. So stay, be attentive, and here is the passage, and there are six key words that we're going to look at that talk about how we are supposed to get dressed in church. We're not talking about this. It will become clear. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with what? Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And the list is not over. He says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So there are six things there that Paul wants us to understand and think about so that we can help take care of each other in the church, but also in other places, like at home, at school, or in clubs. We're going to look at how each one of these clothes help us to live and help others to live. So, we're going to come back to this. The letter C stands for compassion. Compassion. What is compassion? It's kind of a big word, isn't it? C for compassion. It means general concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. Sometimes when we try to understand a word, it's helpful to think of its opposite. So what is the opposite of compassion? It's indifference. It's heartlessness. Someone who just doesn't care. Compassion is when you see someone who is sad or struggling and you ask them if you can help them. Compassion, that's the first word. Second word starts with a K. K stands for kindness. And what does kindness mean? It's the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Friendly, generous, and considerate. What is the opposite of kindness? Someone who is hurtful or mean. So to show kindness is like could be when someone has physical needs and need our support to bring them to their doctor's appointments or visit them in the hospital or to pray for their healing, to write cards to encourage them. That's kindness. Kindness. The next word we'll look at starts with the letter H. H for humility. What does it mean? Humility is a modest view of one's own importance. Humbleness. So what's the opposite of humility? Very often we think of pride. Someone who thinks, I'm too good for that. Or, I'm too good to hang out with you. An example of humility in the church is like when someone has expertise in a certain area, but is not a showboat. he or she doesn't make a show of it, but uses their skills and talents to bless the church. That's H for humility. Now we'll go to the next word, which begins with the letter M. The letter M. M stands for meekness. Meekness. And it's similar to humility. It's not a word we use every day, but it's an important word. What does it mean? Someone who is gentle, respectful, and humble. What's the opposite of meekness? We might think of arrogance, being pushy, someone who thinks he is superior to others and forces their opinions on others. Meekness in the church is when we speak to each other and treat each other in a kind way, not in a pushy or rough way, but in a considerate, warm way. So that's M for meekness. The next word starts with the letter P. The letter P for patience. Patience. Now this, I don't know about you, if you look at the list, this is the one I'm the worst at. Patience. So I'm confessing. Pray for my lack of patience. Help me to get better. What does patience mean? It's someone who has the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. I hope I'm not alone in this. For many, this is one of the hardest to put into practice. So what is the opposite of patience? Well, it's impatience. It's also being irritable or restless. In the church, there's ample opportunity to practice patience. So we can show patience to one another by waiting patiently in line for coffee and tea, or even communion. P for patience. The last word in the list is L for love. The letter L for love. Love has a lot of meanings, but we're going to focus on one in particular. Sometimes you might find the meaning that it's an intense feeling of deep affection or a great interest and pleasure in something. What is the opposite of love? Hatred. Hatred, to want the worst for people. But Christian love is to see people and love people as God loves us, as God loves them. And it is one of the most challenging and rewarding things in life when we learn to love as Christ loves us. So, let's go back to these props. Like these clothes that keep me warm and protect me from the cold, the rain and snow and sunshine, so we are asked to help one another with the qualities that we are clothed or equipped with. They're like qualities or virtues that help us to live and help others to live. Sometimes we might think that the church is something else or someone else. So they are supposed to be doing something for me. But the church is us. It's us. You are a part of the church if you follow Jesus. Some of our young people might think, but I'm too young. I'm too young to help. And sometimes we hear adults say, the children and the youth are the future of the church. I hope you see that that's wrong. They are the church now. The children and the youth are the church now. We need to take care of them. And they can also learn to help to take care of others as well. So to do this, I know that many of you know this already, we have junior service and creche to nurture and bless our children. And something new that is on the program that's coming up is that we're going to start to have meetings with the teenagers once a month during our services. Once a month, it's a good start. And I'm sure if we put our resources together, we could think of more things we could do to help our youth. So the challenge for us adults is, do we have a place for children and youth in our thoughts when we think about church? Or is the church, when we think about it, a place where adults go? And here's another challenging question. Are the children and the youth adequately represented in the church's budget? That's always a challenge for churches. And what about activities for us adults? Well, I only mention a few of the many activities that we have, but along with a variety of types of Sunday services, there are meetings such as Lectio Divina. There are also Tuesday evening studies. And now we even have house groups. Not to mention special social events that are so enjoyable. All of these serve to help us to grow in Christ and to help take care of one another. So what part do we have in helping the church to become, to be, a caring community so that the whole church, all of God's people, can experience God's love for them? Well, think about how you get dressed. What kind of clothes do you put on? If you put on the right clothes, as Paul says, you are helping yourselves and helping others just by sharing your gifts, your care for them. So here's the quiz. I hope you're ready. Do you remember the clothes that Paul mentions? Let's see if I can get the list of letters out here again. C is for, you can almost see it right through the, let's see if I can hide it a little bit. Anyway, it's C for compassion. Well done. K is kindness. Excellent. H is, let's see if I can come up here. Humility. Excellent. Now be humble, right? This is the hard one. M for meekness. Excellent. It's very similar to humility. I almost need an assistant here. P is for patience. And L, beautiful word, love. L for love. Now, when we think about the clothes that I showed you earlier, normally I don't wear all of these at the same time. Now, the clothes that Paul was talking about is not something, Monday I think I'll put into practice meekness, and tomorrow maybe humility. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. These clothes that Paul is talking about is something we are asked to put into practice regularly, daily. Now, if you're like me, you might think, yeah, that's pretty hard, James. That's pretty hard. How do we do this? Well, I think it's important to remember that we're not alone and we help each other on this journey of faith. Someone might think, I'm not good enough to help. I'm not good enough to help in the church. I haven't reached a certain level of maturity. But God is not asking you to be perfect before you can be a part of the church and to help take care of others. He's asking you to become like Christ. I think it's important to remember that the Holy Spirit helps us to put into practice Jesus' teachings. We are not alone in this journey. The Holy Spirit accompanies us. So the bottom line is this: the church nurtures us in imitation of Christ's love. But who is the church? Is it the building, the structure? We are the church. We have a vital part in this when we clothe ourselves with Christ's character, when we clothe ourselves with Christ's clothes. Amen.